Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of the Blog Red Machine podcast. I'm Steve Engblom, senior editor for Blog Red Machine. A couple things to touch upon today is the recent wrap-up of the four-game series with the Nationals. A look ahead after today's day off. Just a very quick glimpse with the Cards and the Cubs. Joey Votto sending a message to Reds fans. And yes, oh yes, I'm going off on the mothership yet again today. It was great to get the win yesterday. Something that was needed in almost the worst way, only for the effect that it would not have been good going into St. Louis, having dropped four in a row to the Nationals. And while in years past there may have been some type of a stigma attached to getting swept in four games by the Nationals, not so much this year. In the last couple years, this team has added some nice arms, added some nice pieces as far as their offense goes, had a couple of pieces that was already in their system. The Nationals are a pretty good-looking team. Can they contend for a playoff spot? They play the way they had the first 10 games of the season, a point I will touch on later. Things are looking good in the nation's capital for that team. And then when you look at the series, the Reds did not even face who is arguably their best pitcher in Steven Strasburg. Totally missed him. And for the series, you compare what the Reds starters delivered versus what the Nats starters delivered. And realistically speaking, as far as innings pitched, Nats starters gave them 28 innings, Reds starters 24 and two-thirds. Now for a four-game set, you know, that's not quite an inning per start. And you look at the lines for all these games, and the Nationals got a big boost when Edwin Jackson twirled his complete game 92-pitch two-hitter. And when Wade Jackson was pitching that game, he was lucky to get two hits. You go back to the first game of the series, Gio Gonzalez, who at one time was linked to be possibly heading to the Reds during this past offseason, threw an absolute gem himself. But I think sometimes we get just a little too caught up with what's happening, and we look too much at one certain instance, which, you know, a play here and a play there, if it goes your way, can make an impact on a game. But case in point was Homer Bailey's outing. And I even wrote about it in the post, and he was just on the brink of pushing to what a quality start should be. He pitched his six innings. He limited him to three runs. Wasn't the prettiest of efforts, but to me, it was a gutty, gritty effort. He was competitive. Bottom line is this, you know, are we going to see the Homer Bailey that we saw in the first inning of that game where it seemed like Nationals hitters had absolutely zero clue on what he was doing, or will it be the Homer Bailey that we saw for the rest of the outing where he seemed to struggle a little bit with his control, his pitch placement? But the Red starters for the series had an ERA of 3.65, and I know that gets into a discussion in slash debate slash argument of its own. Their whip for the series was 1.257. Not mind-blowing. You look at the Nationals, and the ERA is skewed because the Nationals don't have the defensive team that the Reds do. Reds have the best defense in all of baseball. And that even includes the error on Jay Bruce in yesterday's game. They've only committed three for the season. So defense does and can come into play, and we saw that in yesterday's win, even though it did go extra innings. Defense is important. But the Nationals starters had a whip of 0.643. that just shows you how good of a starting staff the Washington Nationals have. I mean, it is a good staff from top to bottom. The Reds caught their number five guy, Ross Detweiler, yesterday, and they hit him up a bit, granted, not all to his being. But you look at the total number of innings pitched for the starters, and considering that you had three extra inning games, now you know why both bullpens actually were stretched. And especially after the first game of the series, we were hearing, you know, this guy's not available, that guy's not available. You know, Dusty didn't really want to use Chapman in one of the games. So, for those of you that are looking to how he's going to handle it in a string of days, I'll have something about that later on Blog Red Machine about days off, strings of games, things of that nature. In looking at the Nationals, there's one guy I do not want to see again, and his name is Adam LaRoche. Yeah, the LaRoche that can actually play at the major league level. He was 7-for-18 with 6 RBIs in the series. I don't think, with the exception of Friday night when Bronson Arroyo pitched, he was just completely zoned in on what Reds pitchers were offering. I can hardly recall him swinging at a bad pitch. There were a couple of hits that he got that you thought, how in the world did he hit that? It was either out of the strike zone or in on his hands. Adam LaRoche had a very good series. One last thing I want to talk about as far as the starting staffs go is, of all the starters, the most runs surrendered were yesterday by Mike Leake. And you take his start, look at the other three starts, the one by Latos, the one by Arroyo, the one by Bailey, their ERA before yesterday's game was only 2.45. So you can't place too big of a deal on the starting staff. Even yesterday, Leake had one bad inning. One bad inning. It was unfortunate that things didn't work out to it. That would have been just a funky win. There's no other way to explain it. And the point of contention has been all along, has been the hitting. And I remember seeing a tweet that the 23 runs after 9 games was the lowest the Reds have had since 1901, because that was the furthest that Joel Luckup had gone back in time to look. I'm not taking it upon myself to try to go any further than that. I have no reason to ever doubt any stat that Joel throws out there, or any opinion that Joel throws out there, for that matter. But it's good to leave Washington with a win. Ahead to St. Louis now for a 3-game set. And the pitching matchups for that series, Johnny Cueto against Kyle Loesch tomorrow night at 8:15. The night after, same time, Matt Latos against Jaime Garcia. And then on the Thursday game, it's a 1:45 start time for us here in the East, Bronson Arroyo against Adam Wainwright. Now, what can we see in this series? Who knows? All I know is this. Everybody talked about, after the winter meetings, when Albert Pujols signed with the Angels, that's going to hurt the Cardinals' offense. Well, so far, no, it's not. Cardinals have been scoring a decent amount of runs, nice number of runs. They've not been pitching it great. A lot of people were putting a lot of value/expectations on Adam Wainwright, and he's 0-2 with an ERA over 11 at this point. So if you're going to look at any one game just based on what these pitchers have done thus far this year, you would point at the final game of the series with Arroyo going against Wainwright to where the Reds might have a chance to win. And here's another thing. The Reds leave D.C. and they're 4-6. Let's say they go to St. Louis, they win that series. We know how important winning series is to Dusty, and I've written about that. They go to Chicago for a 3-game set. They win that series. So put them 4-2, they'd be back at 500. They would be 8-8. Coming back home for a 9-game homestand. 3 with the Giants, 3 with the Astros, and then 3 with the Cubs. That would be a nice way to end the month of April if they could just win series. Because you're looking at going 8-4, and right now they're 4-6. So they would be above 500 at the end of April. One of the things that always shocked me, and I talked about this in the last podcast as well. Right now is a really good time to be a sports fan, regardless of your favorite overall sport. Baseball, 2 weeks into the regular season, in the NBA, we're about a couple of weeks from the playoffs. You got jockeying for position as far as seeds go. In the NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs have started. Saw the fisticuffs that happened between the Flyers and the Pens yesterday. Yeah, who saw that coming? And even if you're not big there and you like soccer, you got a battle for the top of the table in the Barclays Premier League between Manchester United and Manchester City, which is starting to become a pretty big rivalry as well. But then I look on the mothership, and their number one lead story was, today is the first day of voluntary workouts, and that Drew Brees probably not going to be there because he's upset over his franchise tag. And then they even add on and rehash a story we've heard since the day Roger Goodell handed down his penalties to all those involved with Bountygate, if that's what you want to call it. They bring up that whole issue again. Now, it's something that's getting rehashed on an hourly basis. I mean, being a baseball guy, I'm going to go back. You know what the number one story should be right now? Well, of course, with today, with what happened yesterday, the story was what Bobby Valentine said about Cincinnati kid Kevin Youkilis. And then Dustin Pedroia said that's not how it's done in Japan. And that all, well, maybe or maybe not, will get all cleared up. But the big news should be the Dodgers. 9-1. Unless you are just the most diehard Dodger fan, there is no way in the world you could have predicted as such. You probably couldn't even have predicted the start that Matt Kemp has got off on. 6 home runs, almost hitting 500. It's just unbelievable what this guy's doing so early in the season. That's got lost. I mean, they showed it some a little bit last night, especially with yesterday being Jackie Robinson Day. And then the other thing, you know, the big deal was reverting back to the Pujols signing. The Angels aren't exactly playing all that good right now. They're 3-6 after last night's loss to the Yankees. You know, they're struggling. Pujols doesn't even have a home run yet. You know, he got off to a slow start last year too. And then the Roger Clemens is going to have to defend himself again as after the mistrial with his first perjury trial, number two begins today. And I don't get this, because like baseball, basketball, hockey, they all have their own networks. Well, the NFL has their own network too, but sometimes I feel like the mothership is NFL Network too. When we get it, there is not a day goes by that there is not some form of a story devoted to the NFL. And I'm getting to the point personally, and I know there are a lot of Bengals fans that are also Red fans, or NFL fans that are also Red fans. I get it. I totally understand it. But this is baseball season. I don't care if Drew Brees is holding out, unless I'm a Saints fan. I don't care about what the first day of voluntary workouts hold in store for the New York Jets between Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow, and then listen to Rex Ryan most likely trying to spout off again, unless I'm a Jets fan. I don't care. I want my local news to cover that stuff. We're in baseball season. We're in the getting close to the end of the regular season for the NBA. We've got the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got some excellent stories outside of that sport. And I don't get unless that, I guess it was $1.5 billion that the mothership gave the NFL for rights to do the games, unless they're trying to find their return on their investment that way. But to me, it seems like no other sport can claim the top story, unless it's something silly like Stan Van Gundy saying that Magic Management told him that Dwight Howard wanted Van Gundy out the door. Or it's something like today with Bobby V, Kevin Youkilis, and Dustin Pedroia. If it's something that can possibly have any type of a stigma of drama attached to it, they'll jump all over it. Doesn't always have to be that way. I think at times we just got to take a step back and go, you know what, guys? Is this really worthy of all the attention that we're giving it? And speaking of attention, you have Joey Votto's attention, Reds fans. If you saw the interview with Jim Day at the end of the game yesterday, you know to which I'm referring. He talked about how the big catchphrase going on right there in the nation's capital right now is Natitude. And he introduced a new catchphrase, Cincinnatitude. And I think that's something that, you know, may sound kind of a little cheesy on the level, but I found it refreshing. Bits and pieces since Joey Votto has started to ever so slowly emerge as a leader on this team, we're starting to see these little spots of Joey Votto to where he can come up and, I don't want to say shock us, maybe surprise us a little bit with some things he says. And it's never anything negative and never anything rash. He's just got just the slightest bit of a dry sense of humor, in my opinion. But he said, he looked at the camera, and then he looked at Jim Day, and he said, you know, the bats are going to get going. And he knows what's being said out there. Now, who's filling him in on this? Is it Jim Day? I'm going to say probably not. Is it one of his fellow players that are on Twitter? You know, Brandon Phillips, Mike Leake, Jay Bruce. Are they filling him in on what's going on? You know, with the smartphones, you just look what they're saying. You know, things of that nature. And so he's in the loop. You know, does he go with his laptop? Can he go online? And does he check what is being said? Does he check the message boards, the chat rooms, the forums? Maybe he reads Blog Red Machine, see what we write. He is well aware. He's in the know. And he delivered a message to you. The bats will get going. I know. Eventually they have to. And maybe yesterday was a breakout game. But it makes you wonder. You know, there is a, I don't want to say, there's almost an epidemic of Twitter accounts that are created with a player's name attached to it, and it's not that player. And Reds fans, we've been bitten on that one before. The false one about Pete Rose, just as an example. But there is supposedly one out there, and I bet it's not the only one. It says Joey Votto. You look at the bio, and it says certified. I haven't seen the blue check mark yet. I haven't checked it yet today. I probably won't check it yet today. Just as I have done in the past, I'm going to wait for verification through someone within the Reds organization or the team itself via Twitter that this is actually legit. But what if that is him? I don't think it is as I look over his tweets, because I can't see him asking Brandon for a retweet. I just can't. But somehow Joey Votto's in the know. And that's a good thing. That means he cares. He has said he loves it in Cincinnati. You know, reading the article, which we got a link to in the on the Hub, if you go to the, our homepage, go to the upper right corner there, the Hub for blogredmachine.com, you will see a link to which senior staff writer John Heitz alerted me to from the Toronto Sun. And it's about Joey Votto. And one of the things that I loved about, and this, you could, you cannot dislike Joey Votto after you read that piece. You honestly can't. When the word came down initially that the Reds were going to offer him 10 years, $225 million, he was informed of the decision by his agent, Dan Lozano, who's also Albert Pujols' agent, and he's got a few other nice clients on his roll, truth be known. He went the next day when they were out there, went, shook Walt Jocketty's hands. Just as a thanks. Deal wasn't done. Nothing was signed. The T's hadn't been crossed. The I's hadn't been dotted. Everything you want to throw into that. But that just shows a good side of Joey Votto. And how can you not like something like that? The deal wasn't done. But yet he made a concerted effort to personally approach Walt about the manner. I mean, that in itself also shows leadership. Oh, and then having an interpreter go out there to Goodyear so he could learn Spanish so that he can converse more with his teammates. And we've seen it in a shot during a game where through Aroldis Chapman's interpreter, because, I mean, I don't know if you can... I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. I don't think you can learn a complete language in a month. But we saw Joey talking, having a conversation with Aroldis Chapman. Those are the kind of things that you love to see out of a guy who is now labeled as the cornerstone of your organization, one of the richest guys in the sport from a player standpoint, but you just like to see the effort of conversing with teammates. And then even yesterday after the win, when they go through the lines and they do the highs and the low fives and things of that nature, he's talking with Scott Rolen. Who better to learn from than Scott Rolen? You know, do you want to be a quiet leader? Do you want to be a vocal leader? Do you want to be in between? Well, Scott Rolen can give you tips, if anybody can, because Scott Rolen plays the game right. I'm sure you'll get some disagreement from the fans in Philadelphia and from the fans even in St. Louis on that. But Joey Votto is the face of the Reds. Brandon Phillips, Jay Bruce, and all the and John had a post last week about all these guys that they got under contract for the next couple years that can help in building a winner, and it starts at the top as far as your roster goes. Joey Votto is the Reds' best player. I don't think there can be any disagreement on that. And when you see the way he looked into the camera, told us things are going to get better, the bats are going to come around, sensing attitude, approaching Walt Jocketty, shaking his hand, conversing with his teammates. That is part of being a team leader. Reverting quickly back to the situation involving Bobby Valentine and Kevin Youkilis, Dustin Pedroia says, we got his, meaning Youkilis, we've got his back. That situation were to ever happen in Cincinnati, and somebody says something to someone that's been around a while, if somebody says something about Joey Votto, the guys will have his back. Why? Because he is showing that he is willing to be a team leader. And I think back to a post that I read. I think it was either Mark Sheldon or John Fay, saying that after a game, Joey was getting ready to leave, and he asked, anyone in the media want to speak with me? That in itself should tell you something. We have all known Joey to be not exactly, I wouldn't even use the word aloof anymore, because I know a couple years ago that word was attached with him by a certain guy from ESPN Chicago. But he's not aloof. I don't want to say withdrawn either. I guess I just got to go with what Dusty has to say. Joey Votto is just a different cat. And there's no better way to put it. I wouldn't want to have anyone playing first base for my Reds at this point in time, or even for the past three seasons, or to the next coming umpteen seasons, how many ever you want to call it, than one Joseph Daniel Votto. He is showing that he is worth all the attention he has recently received, especially over the last couple of seasons, with this contract that he's got. Hey, in due time, we know how long-term contracts work in this in the business of baseball. You needn't look far, and you needn't look hard to how many have been actually deemed as successful. But this is an investment. That's the way it should be looked at. And if you want to bring up the Ken Griffey Jr. contract, go right ahead, Cubs fans. I will say two words to you, Alfonso Soriano. I'm glad 19's playing first base for the Reds. I'm glad he'll be here for a while. I'm glad that they've got a nice core building up around him. And hopefully the win from yesterday is just the beginning of many yet to come. My name's Steve Engblom, senior editor for Blog Red Machine. Enjoy the remainder of your Reds day off. Again, tomorrow night they get back at it, 8:15. Johnny Cueto and Kyle Loesch. Till then, enjoy your Monday, and we hope to see you on the site.